God saw that, Katie.
What if you told him you pinky promised?
But I got in a massive argument with the guy at Louis Vuitton. Like, he was being such an asshole to me.
I did a really bold thing today.
What'd you do?
I got 2% milk in my coffee.
I messaged him first. We're sat.
I'm sat. You're sat.
I walk in this apartment knowing that it's just Katie and I recording the podcast. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I get a couch seat today. I'm going to be upgraded from the floor. And then sure enough, I look over. My floor seat is nice and set up for me.
Okay, I need to explain why. Because, so, as you know, there's typically three of us recording. It makes most sense, like, just, I don't even know why, like, just logistically for, oh, we only have two, like, tall mic stands. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense logistically for there to be two people sitting on the couch because of just how it all works with the mic stands. One of the mic stands is literally possessed by an evil spirit, and it never is well-behaved. One of them's totally fine. The other one, you put the microphone in, it sags. It sinks. You guys have definitely heard us complaining about it on the episodes.
We'll be like, oh, it's going down. It's
and
going
so
down.
I was so relieved when I realized, well, obviously I miss Colby dearly. Wish she was here with us. But the fact that she isn't recording with us today, I was like, perfect. Adam gets his spot. Never an issue with your microphone. Your microphone stand is always on point.
My mic stand is perfect.
Mine is typically either, like, it's really a gamble because I don't know which one's which. I need to label the bad one. We honestly just need to order a new one.
Okay, but so I'm convinced that the mic stands are fine and it's user error.
For sure. But, like, what are we going to do? It needs to be, like, idiot-proof, really.
Wait, because every time I come in and I'm like, wait, let me, like, finagle with it, like, it's fine the entire episode.
Well, you just have a stronger grip than me. Like, I don't have a good grip. Like, the thing about me is I'm strong, okay? I can lift.
I believe it.
I'm strong, but when it comes to my grip, like, I can't open a jar of pickles to save my life. Like, I always need Jack or someone, whoever's around, to help me with that. And it's, like, truly not me being like, oh, I'm such a girl. I can't do it. I'm such a dainty little lady. No, I genuinely just, like,
I'm
can't.
I'm so demure.
I can't twist.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's what I'm here for.
So, anyway.
I come in and twist that thing up, and he doesn't even move.
I'm sorry I didn't set you up. But
it's all right. Actually,
I like looking into your eyes like this. I can really see you.
I don't know. I can stare directly at you. Sometimes it's funny watching you and Colby, like, look at each other from across the couch because, like, the mic stands are in such a distinct position that I see you guys, like, side-eyeing each other to try to look at each other directly, and it's very funny.
It's not a comfortable experience. Like, we really, it's, hey, low-budget production.
Matchmate is, as always,
and we always
a low-budget production. You never know. Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. If someone wants to come in and just, like, help us out, be my guest.
Yeah, we need an intern. Really? We need a video production intern.
Really? Be my guest. But anyway.
Well, that's fun. Well, I'm so glad we get to do this today, Kathy. Just me and you. We miss Colby.
I know. Colby is, well, not at the exact moment we're recording, but when this goes live, it's her sister's wedding weekend.
Yeah.
And she is delivering the speech, the maid of honor speech. And she was rehearsing it for us over the weekend at this other wedding we were at. And I'm so excited for her. She's going to crush it. And I can't wait for her to give us her full rundown of how it goes.
I know.
Because, I mean, giving a speech at your, like, sibling's wedding must be so stressful.
And being, like, the maid of honor at your sibling's wedding.
Yeah.
I'd be so stressed out.
Yeah. I mean, even after the wedding this weekend, I'm just like, there's so many moving parts that...
Well, we should honestly, let's talk about the wedding this weekend.
Let's
because
talk about it.
It was amazing.
It was our first, like I said, our first wedding with Colby, Adam, and I there.
Yes.
And we had a fabulous time in
Rhode
Island.
It was so much fun. Wait, was this also, oh wait, I was going to say, was this your first wedding with a date? Because you brought Jack, but you brought Jack to Jillian's.
It was my first wedding with Jack that was, like, many of my friends in attendance.
Yeah.
Because at Jillian's wedding, I really only knew her and the other people in the bridal party. I didn't really know the guests. So it was interesting. Yeah, like, there were guys there that, like, I fully have hooked up with. And I was just like, is this one of those situations where I tell Jack or not?
I think no.
I didn't.
I think, yeah.
It doesn't concern him.
Yeah, I think some things are just better left in the past.
I was just sitting there, like, fully aware, like, when we were in the church during the ceremony.
In the holy ground.
In the holy ground.
In God's place. And Katie is looking around being like, I had sex with you. I had sex with you. I had sex with you. God saw that, Katie.
No, but seriously, I was like, oh my God. I feel like it felt like a full circle moment. I'm like, that boy made me sad. And now I'm with, like, a guy that actually makes me happy. But it was just weird to think about.
That's a very positive full circle moment.
I'm like, are they thinking about it too? Probably not. But I'm like, wait, we've fully like hooked up. We've been naked together. We have.
They might be. I mean, like, did they also hook up with other girls in the sorority? Like,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of you guys had some overlap.
So much overlap. Elon was the smallest. Well, I mean, it's not the smallest school. I've talked to people that went to smaller schools, but we had like 6,000 people undergrad. There's a lot of crossover there, especially with the fraternity. Because the wedding we went to, it was bride and groom were both from our school. So we knew a lot of the same people, obviously. It's not like two colleges coming together. So yeah, there was definitely some overlap.
Yeah.
But I just gave it one thought. And then I was like, wow, look at me now. So much better.
You've made it.
So much better.
You've made it.
Yeah, but what did you think of the wedding?
Oh my God, I thought it was spectacular.
What are your notes? What are your thoughts?
What are my notes?
Well, actually, wait, we should do the intro.
Oh, we should.
Before we get super carried away.
I think it's your turn.
Welcome back to Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam.
Sans Colby.
Sans Colby.
Girls. / girl. Singular. How we doing?
I'll be great once you tell me your review of the wedding.
Literally obsessed with the wedding. Like, it was so nice, I thought. Also, the fact that our friend did not have a wedding planner.
Yeah.
Right?
Shocking.
Guys, this wedding was so flawlessly executed, I thought, and like so amazing. And like the details also were just so good in this wedding. So it was in Providence, Rhode Island, which I had never been to Providence before. I do.
It was technically Warwick.
Oh, okay.
We took the train to Providence, though.
Oh, okay.
But technically, for those Rhode Islanders out there.
Yeah. And for everybody who's curious, I conquered New England officially.
Yes.
I got some DMs being like, congrats on conquering New
England. Someone commented that on my post, and I was like, yep, he did it.
I was so happy. But yeah, so we went to Rhode Island, and I guess the actual wedding was in Warwick. But it was at this, what was the venue called? The Aldrich Mansion or the Aldrich Estate or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
God, it was like so pretty. And I don't think I was expecting what it was. Like, we come up in the buses, and it's down this like super long, like whimsical driveway. And then you see this massive estate in the church, and we get delivered to the church basically. And you get out, and all of a sudden you feel this kind of like nice breeze. And the first thing I said is, I was like, oh my God, are we next to the ocean? Like, where are we geographically right now? And we did the church ceremony. We walk over to the Aldrich Mansion or
right
whatever
next door.
It is, the estate, like right next door.
Couldn't have been closer.
Could not have been closer. We walk in, and like, the back door is this sprawling entrance to this massive staircase that looks over the, is it the ocean? What are we looking at?
Yeah.
Geography is not my forte.
I mean, it was a lot of water.
A river? I don't know. It was a big,
it could have been a river.
Body of water.
Yeah, no, I'm not good at that either. But it was a lot of blue. A lot of blue. And it really, like, to Adam's point, you get out of the buses, it felt like it was just like salty, you know?
Yes.
Salt hanging in the air. The perfect, if you think about August by Taylor Swift, the song just personified in an actual real life place.
Yes.
This was that.
Okay, so it was Narragansett Bay.
Oh, it's a bay. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Narragansett Bay. I was worried that people were going to like listen to this and start roasting us live. So we were in Narragansett Bay, but it was gorgeous. Like, the staircase was like massive. You walk down and they had this amazing cart that were making Aperol spritzes, espresso martinis, etc. for the cocktail hour.
Like, couldn't have done it better.
And the little details, they had like the little, like, the Parker, like their dog. They had the little,
the dog was everywhere. Like little stirs
for
the drinks and like these little, like, every detail. When I found out she didn't have a planner, I was shook to my core.
Yeah.
I
mean, because it was just such like a spectacularly executed
way. When we checked into the hotel, we got gift bags for our rooms with like the usual, you know, things that you need on a wedding day, like gum and Advil and Tide to Go. She thought of absolutely everything. Shout out to Bianca
and like Chris. His and hers favorite snacks. So like his were like Swedish fish and hers were, I think, the watermelon sour candies.
What would you do if you had a his and hers bag? Like, what would yours be?
Oh,
for the his and hers candy bag.
Mine would be his and his. And
right, but
his number one, the most important, AKA me. What would mine be? I don't know, because I'm like not like the biggest, like mine would probably be something boring. Like, I love like the Unreal snacks, like the little Unreal Mound bars. You know what I'm talking about? Like the brand Unreal.
I know them, but
it makes like the low
sugar.
Are those
pricey? Think about it.
Well,
think about the number of those you have to give out.
I have a feeling that if I have a wedding, it's going to be extremely expensive. Like, I just don't want to throw a party that's going to suck.
You do what makes you happy with your wedding. Don't do everything just for the sake of doing everything because everyone else is doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to have a photo booth and like all of these different like activations and different things and like all of this stuff. You don't have to do that because then it just like spreads it so thin. And I think you focus like on your big things you really want and overall just having a fabulous day.
Right.
But I think these days it's gotten so blown out. And yeah, like she, Bianca, for example, focused on all of the perfect things, like very sentimental things for her and Chris, the, like her husband now. And I thought it was so tasteful, so well done. It wasn't like so much going on that it was like, oh my God, like everywhere you look, there's something and it's overwhelming. And obviously
it was like a very tasteful wedding.
A big spend. Like it was, everything was so tastefully, fantastically done.
Yeah. Like, but all the important things I felt like were prioritized. And also we know that like, I'm a frugal king. Like I'm going to make sure that I have an amazing party for like a small group of people. Like I don't want like a 300 to 400 person blowout.
I completely agree.
Wedding where I have to do like a skimp or a little bit on the pricing for like to host that amount of people. Like I want to have a party with my closest, like nearest and dearest friends where I like take that budget and spend it all on the people that I care about the most, you know, and like throw a big party and have fun and whatever.
Oh yeah. No, so. I've more and more over the years, like ask me 4 years ago, like 4 years ago, Katie would have been like, oh my God, I'm going to have a huge wedding, massive party. But then once I started to realize just the people, I mean, you kind of take stock of your life. Mm-hmm. Like for example, my Halloween party this year, I was thinking about numbers for that and like how many people I'm going to invite. I kind of just did like a rough mental list of like who I know and who I care about these days and like who I feel like I have a good relationship with, because naturally you lose touch with people. People move away, you know, you start to realize like, oh, you know, I'm not actually good friends with that person the way I used to be, whatever. Mm-hmm. The numbers are dwindling, but it's kind of a good thing because then you can fully pour into all the friendships because there's less of them.
Yeah.
Because you just start to realize like, oh, and the thing is, it's like kind of sad, but also not. Like sometimes you're just not compatible with people anymore the way you were. And it's not like a thing that you need to mourn because also it's like, they're not dead, you know? But then you start to realize like, oh, maybe I could have like a 60 person wedding.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 100 people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I was in the same boat. Like, I used to be like, oh, I'm going to have this massive blowout, like 1,000-person wedding because I know so many people and like, blah, blah, I want them all to be there to celebrate. But now I'm kind of just, and this also is kind of a parallel to like how I've approached my birthday over the years. Like several years ago, I used to have those massive blowout birthday parties where there'd be like 100 people in my apartment and we'd have this like massive bar situation. And now I'm kind of like, I feel like I have the most fun when it's just our core group and it's like a little bit less stress for me when I just know that I'm pouring my, pouring my cups that are the closest.
Retweet.
Except truly. Katie over here just finished planning her birthday.
Yes, but the issue, wait, back to the wedding numbers for a second there. The issue, I just thought of this mentally. I was like, wait, 60 people, there's just no way. I have a huge family. The family is the issue. And I don't want to say an issue because it's a beautiful thing to have, you know, people that care about you, whatever, but I have so many relatives. Like, where do you draw the line? I'm definitely not having no kids. No kids.
No kids are allowed.
If you know, someone is under the age of like, I don't know. It depends on who it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Family, you have like family members. Like I have like an 18-year-old. But would I even have? I guess maybe. No, honestly, no. I'm like, will I even have someone 18 that I know in my family at that point?
You might. Maybe if like your sister has kids.
At my wedding? Dear? How many When's years is it going to be? 18 years from now, I will be getting married.
No, but like she could have a baby in like, let's say 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but like, no, not allowed. Children, no. Screaming kids, no.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that for my wedding either.
Well, it's just one more thing that I'd have to think about. And I want everyone to have fun. Just get a babysitter for the night. I know it's like hard for some people to do that. Then I'm sorry, just.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
Well, back to our OG questions with the his and her bags.
Oh, yeah. And her bags.
What would yours? I mean, mine's like Unreal candies, cottage cheese cups, and like Quest bars. Everybody would be like, I'm throwing this away.
I'm trying to think for the his and hers bags. What would my... Honestly, Raisinets. That would be mine. But it's... But I know people don't like Raisinets.
But that's not the... Like, not everybody likes sour watermelon candies, but that was like... the bags at this wedding.
A lot of people do love sour watermelon candies.
Maybe a lot of people love Raisinets and you just don't know.
I mean, justice for Raisinets. It's like slightly healthy, You know,
I love raisins.
And I love raisins in general. Raisinets would be mine for sure.
What do you think Jack's would be? Soccer cards. Soccer jerseys.
Soccer? That's not edible.
You're right.
He would be, he loves chocolate things. Probably like some English chocolate situation. There's a lot of like English candies.
Okay.
Like chocolate ones, probably. Or honestly, he's kind of like, he loves Milky Way, probably like mini Milky Ways.
Okay, I'll take that.
Kind of like one of those mixed, you know, those mixed bags you get like Halloween with the minis, like the little square candies, the like Milky Way, whatever else there is, Snickers. That would be his, like a mixed bag of just chocolate things.
I love that. Yeah. I'm hoping that my future man's has some better variety and taste than I do. So that we can really spice up our bags.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that like your future man's is just out there loving a certain candy and you just don't even know what it is yet?
Don't even get me started.
Like you don't
even
know.
Girl, do I know. I have like, Colby and I are both on the pen pal journey right now. Like Colby has like a million pen pals. I have a million pen pals.
Do tell, because...
Well, I feel like I just have the same story every week. Like at this point, I have like a million pen pals. What I will say, so I don't think I told you this. Maybe I did over the weekend.
Oh, wait. I need to remind you of something that...
Cologne. Oh, right.
Adam texted me last night. He goes, make sure I don't forget to tell you about cologne. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, so basically, I'll tell you the cologne story first.
Yeah.
So for Alex's birthday this year, all of, like similar to our friend group, we do like the group gift where like everybody just collectively pulls some money. You get the person like a nice like big gift opposed to getting like 10 people getting like little like packs of gum or something like that. Like you all just pull your money together and you get them something good, right? That they would actually use.
Right.
And so we do that every year with like my guy friends too, like Alex and Mahi. And so this year, Alex really likes cologne. And so we got him this super nice Louis Vuitton cologne. And so I like went to go pick it out and I was like, oh, this one smells like really good and like oddly very familiar to me. So I was like, I'm just going to buy him this one. Worst case, if he hates it, he'll just return it or something like that.
Okay. So pretty much everyone was like, Adam, we defer to you. You choose.
Usually the way we do it. And I feel like our group kind of does this kind of the same way. It's like the person's best friend or like presumably the person is the closest with is kind of like the organizer.
Yeah.
And then they put everybody in a group chat and then they're like, hey, like this is what I'm thinking of for their gift. Like, let me know if anybody else has any ideas other than that. Like,
and sometimes there's a brainstorm, but sometimes it's like, oh, that's perfect. Why would we?
Exactly.
Dispute that.
Yeah. Like
it's a great gift.
Right.
Sure.
And so for us, it's like Alex likes cologne and he likes watches. And we're all not going to
purchase watches are out of budget for you.
the Rolex
couple grand.
Might be a little out of budget. So we pulled money to get him some cologne, basically.
I see.
And so everybody was like, yeah, trust you. Like you pick out the cologne, like you know Alex the best, whatever. And so I picked out this specific cologne that I thought smelled really good at Louis Vuitton. We get it. He opens it. He's like, great. Love it. We go back to the store, get him a little sampler so that he can actually like test it out before he opens it in case he wants to swap it out. And so the other night on
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I would never think to do that. I would just open it and maybe hate it and just keep it.
Okay. So that's that's like a whole tangent of the story, but I got in a massive argument with the guy at Louis Vuitton. Like he was being such an asshole to me.
Why?
Basically, I was like, look, like I think this smells really good, but like it's a gift and I don't want the person I'm giving it to like, can he exchange this was basically the gist of my question.
Right.
And the guy was like, I mean, yeah, but like you're not allowed to open it. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like he won't open it, but I want him to be able to unwrap something for his birthday. So I'm going to buy it now.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to bring it back and have him exchange it. Like, is that okay? And he goes, we're going to know if you open it. He's like, it has a tag on it and it has a seal. And if you break the seal, we're going to know, like double clicked on it.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't understand the concept of, well, truthfully, I wouldn't think of this either, that you could go get a sample and then he could smell it without actually opening the big thing.
Yeah. But the gist is like, also, if you're getting somebody a gift, like, I don't want to just be like, oh, we're planning on getting you this Louis Vuitton cologne. Like, here's a picture of it. Like, if you're okay with that, here's $300. Like, go buy it.
I suppose cologne is a difficult gift.
Yeah.
Perfumes in general. But I've never really thought about it with perfumes. Like, can you, because Sephora has a great return policy in general. Mm-hmm. Like, if you try something and you don't like it, you can most of the time exchange it, return it. But I wonder if they take back perfumes. I've never gotten down that road.
Well, anyways, this guy
good
and
to
I,
know about Louis Vuitton. Yeah. That guy didn't like you.
No, he didn't. I literally got in an argument
with
him.
He was out for blood.
I was like, dude, I'm not going to open it, but I want him to be able to unwrap something. So, like,
what if you told him, you pinky promise you won't open it?
Buddy, I pinky promise swear.
I'm just seeing you like put your hand over the glass, like pinky promise.
Me silently put my finger over the glass.
I pinky promise. How about that?
Anyways, the guy and I finally reached an agreement. It was fine. So Alex and I go back to the store and we basically have him try a couple of clones. And he gets a sampler of a couple of the ones that we liked, including the one that I got him.
And this is after he had opened the present.
Correct. So he got to open the present. He didn't like open the thing. I was like, don't fucking open that because if you break the seal, we're not going to be able to exchange
it. But he was like, oh, cute. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And then you guys booked it to the store so he can actually smell.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow, that's an experience.
Exactly. I wanted the experience. You know, I wanted him to open up a nice little Louis Vuitton bag and get his gift.
It's the thought that counts.
It is. And so Sunday, we're going to dinner. So we had gotten back from Rhode Island. Me, Alex, and Mahi are going to dinner.
Right.
And I'm walking next to Alex and I'm like, wow, Alex smells really good and really familiar. And I'm pretty sure he's wearing the clone that I got him. And two, I know exactly where that clone is coming from. And like, basically, the clone that Alex is wearing that I had bought for him because I thought it smelled really good, it all of a sudden hit me that that was a clone that Hillstone wore. That was like his signature scent.
Shit.
It was bad.
I had a feeling it was going this direction, but I thought, oh my God.
Yeah. So we were walking.
And I thought for some reason you were going to say that was like Alex's signature scent already. And you just bought him the same one because you thought of him when you smelled it. But it's because he already wears the cologne.
Worse.
An ex-flame that ghosted you.
Yes.
You literally got the cologne of the man that ghosted you for your best friend.
I literally, like, Alex is talking to me and I'm dead silent because I'm piecing this together in my brain. And Alex is like, wait, what's wrong? And of a sudden it clicks for me and I put my hand on his shoulder and I'm like, I am really sorry, but the cologne that I bought you is Hillstone signature scent. And I just realized.
Oh my God.
And he pauses for a second and he's like, why don't we, let's go home. I'll get the receipt. We got to return it. I was like, yeah.
Wow.
I was like, no, it's okay. Like, you can keep it. It's totally fine, whatever. And he's like, no, I think we should probably return it. Well, I feel like
as Alex, I would just feel funny about it. Even if it does, like, obviously I consider your feelings, but, you know, I would be thinking to myself, oh, this is the cologne that this guy that wronged Adam wore. Like,
I know,
every time, like, the association of it. But it's so funny how, you know, how memory is so tied to smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like, something about the brain. It's like you smell something and it takes you back.
Yeah. Like, in the moment while I was smelling him, because, like, I think this is also a plug for Louis Vuitton. Like, their scents, like, really are very strong and stick really well. So they last, like, all day and they smell so good. Like, my signature scent is Imagination and it's the best scent ever.
Wait, so which Louis Vuitton scent is it? Is Hillstone's scent?
We got him Meteor. And
Meteor?
It's like, it's pronounced like Meteor or something like that.
Oh, I thought you meant like Meteor Shower.
It kind of is, but it's like M-E-T-E-O-R-E.
Like the meteors that come crashing into Earth and like deck people's houses. And maybe that's like
the French word for meteor, I guess. It probably is. But like,
honestly, fitting. Hillstone came into your life like a meteor crashing into Earth.
He really did. So it does make sense that was the scent that he was
crashed
wearing.
Into Earth and decked your house.
Yeah. And no, he actually did. And I like had such a flashback in the moment of smelling Alex. Like I literally remember being in his bathroom, looking at the shelf. I always thought that he smelled really good. And then I looked at the shelf and I like had this flashback memory of the Louis Vuitton bottle that said Meteor. And I was like, fuck. Like,
oh,
this
my God.
Could not, like, it just, yeah. Sad, 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 sad.
Well, there's so many other scents that Alex can wear.
Luckily. Unfortunately, we went back, tried a bunch out. This is before I realized that it was Hillstone scent. And he was like, wait, no, like, I actually really like the one that you got me. I think it's the best one here.
Frick.
And then, of course.
But how are we going to return this when the guy literally gave you a death threat pretty much saying you can't open it?
Because Alex didn't open it. He had the sampler. So he's been using the sampler. Yeah.
Smart boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart boy.
And I feel bad because I like want him to keep it, but like I think now that he knows that he's like, ah, shoot, like
no, yeah,
we can't.
No, like I said, it's like every time he puts it on, he's gonna be thinking of like,
yeah,
the guy that ghosted you,
right?
Which like I would just feel weird. Also, it's like then it isn't your signature scent anymore. It's like some, you know what I mean? It's like
some person that
I don't
want
to share my signature. I mean, granted, I guess you kind of have to share your signature scent because think about it, you're not gonna. There are some places where you can get your own scent made, but
that's true.
I don't have a signature scent. I just wear, I have like a signature style, I'd say. I like like mostly floral types, but I kind of alternate between like a musk and like a, you know,
based
Jo Malone,
feeling.
Like English pear type. I don't really have a signature scent though.
I think as long as you always smell good, like that's what's important. But I do kind of like having a signature scent. Like I feel like I always smell like Imagination.
There's people in my life that I know, you have a signature scent. Jack has signature scent. He has two different colognes, one that he uses for daytime and one for nighttime.
Oh, interesting.
Like, depending on what the event. And yeah, he just smells a certain way. Mm-hmm. But I can always tell whether it's like his daytime cologne or his nighttime cologne. I think it's Ralph Lauren. I actually don't know. He had this before me. But where was I going with this? Oh, Brooke and Danielle, each of them have signature scents. Like I've noticed it. I don't know what their current scents are, but I just know that they have, is it like Baccarat? Is that sound right?
Rouge? Baccarat Rouge, yeah.
Rouge? I think that's Brooke's. Danielle used to wear Le Labo.
Mm.
Santal. Is that right?
Santal 55 or whatever.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And whenever I smell that, I think of Danielle.
That's so funny because Julia used to wear Santal 55, yes. I believe.
And so oddly, this is such a very distinct, very weird memory. There was this guy I hooked up with at Paul's Baby Grand. We went home together afterwards. Like we were flirty, hanging out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, this guy smells so familiar. I can't figure it out. He was wearing Santal.
Oh my God.
Which I've never like known a man to wear Santal. Like, yeah. I mean, it's unisex for sure, but like I've just never. And he was the guy that I hooked up with, went home with. I don't know if I told you this, but he, oh my God, like smelled so good, like Santal. But now whenever I smell it, I'm so conflicted. Cause I'm like, Danielle, also this random man, like he had sleep apnea and he had the machine. I'm not laughing at the machine. I know people genuinely need it, but he didn't warn me. It was no warning. We like had sex and then he just puts the mask on and he's like, good night. I know people need that. And it's so useful for people with the condition of, yeah. You know, needing to breathe when they sleep. But my God, it was a jump scare. Like, I just wasn't expecting that. So he smelled like Santal and had a mask on his face.
My God, that is so funny.
And anyway, but yeah, scent is like, you have this like memory with scent. What does Colby wear? Why am I not thinking of what she wears?
I actually don't know what she wears. For some reason, she strikes me as like a Santal girl as well.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's different, or maybe she's a Loewe.
I mean, I have like 17 perfumes. That's the thing.
And whenever I get a new Loewe one you have.
Yeah, the Loewe one's really good. It's kind of running out.
Ooh.
I should get a new one. But
we need a revamp of that.
It's very fresh. You know, I just like, I don't know. Whatever one is like closest to me when I'm putting it on is what I wear.
Scents are so important though, honestly. Like I think I definitely look for that in every first date that I have, I feel like.
Oh yeah.
It's like, what does this person smell like?
Absolutely. Even if it's just a really good deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Smell's important.
Smell is very important. Yeah. Completely agree.
But anyways. What I was like,
sorry,
okay, going back to tell you. Wait, yes. Also, I feel like we should finish the wedding segment here. What were your favorite parts of the wedding? Because like we didn't even get to talk about yours.
Yes. What was my favorite part of the wedding? I mean, obviously, like I got a little teary-eyed during the ceremony. Like,
oh my God, just, yeah. So sweet.
She walked down the aisle to Invisible String.
It was cute.
Absolutely magical. Like, no notes. All the music, no notes. Loved it. It was interesting. I haven't gone to a church ceremony wedding yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like in an actual church, I mean. Like this was the first one. Like I've gone to like some religious ceremonies, but not in an actual church. And it hit different, let me tell you that. Like it was the layout. It was like very classic Catholic church layout where you kind of look at each other. Like the pews are all focused like inward to each other, so you kind of have to like turn your head to the right or left to see the bride and groom at the end of the altar, and it felt like so official.
Yeah,
like we were like it was so, but it was also very brief, which I really appreciated. It really focused like on their union. There were some passages read, but it was all like very focused on them, and it didn't make it seem like you were at like a Sunday service just randomly that had nothing to do with the wedding. So it was very well done. And obviously, like, she just looked so happy the whole time.
I know.
It made me so happy.
I thought it was so great. The thing I also really liked is when they did the dinner, they had a separate room for, like, the parents and the parents' friends and then the kids and the kids' friends.
Yeah, that was really good. Which I thought was
so
fun.
So, like, our room was basically, like, all of, like, our friends and other people from Elon and the
people
that were our age, young people. And then there was a completely separate room that was on the opposite side of the chateau or whatever we were on that was, like, the parents. And I think they spent the initial time, like maybe the appetizer course, they spent in the parents portion, and then they came for the dinner and like everything after to our side.
So smart.
Yeah, which I thought was so fun.
So great. Yeah, no, that was awesome. And then the cake room, that's what I thought you were gonna say.
Oh my God, I should have said the cake room.
Wait,
guys,
I feel like that's your number one.
Guys, the cake room was my number one. How could I even forget the way that we were in the bar? So they also had like a separate bar that was in this library that was beautiful.
No notes. I want to move in there.
It was insane.
I want to move in. That will be my future apartment. It was like the library in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Iconic.
And anyways, we're in the bar room and we're just like chit-chatting. And then all of a sudden, these like grand doors that honestly, I don't even think I noticed at first. Like these massive doors.
They were like 14 feet high.
Huge.
Like huge ass doors.
They all of a sudden open to this gorgeous cake room, like with a ton of tiered cakes, like a strawberry shortcake, a tiramisu cake, a lemon, like ricotta cake.
The thing is, it wasn't even, they weren't even tiered cakes. They were just single cakes.
Yes.
So pretty much, you know how like people have these like massive wedding cakes that are like eight tiers because granted you have a lot of people, so mm-hmm. you need to feed all those people. And in lieu of that, she did like one cute little cake that they cut for the pictures and stuff that mm-hmm. was funfetti, vanilla frosting or something. Then she had like 12 other cakes, every different kind of cake you can imagine. And we just all went around and got like slices of each, like whichever yeah. one we want. So it's really great for people. She had a gluten-free section.
For Mia.
She had literally like 15 cakes in this room at like a dining table style room. So you just kind of like went around and like took a little yeah. slice of whatever you wanted. It was so cute.
And I think I interchanged tier with layer. Like I meant like they had like a bunch of layer cakes.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
Like they
layer.
Were like, yeah, they were like stacked up cakes basically. As in like layers of... I don't know what I'm trying
layers
to say.
Layers of cake.
Yes.
Which one are you specifically referring to?
All of them. They were all layers. Like they were like
cheesecake?
Three layers in each of them.
Cheesecake?
I don't know. There I think was I was no thinking layers. About like the Black Forest and like the
I see.
You know, those types of cakes. But anyways,
and I didn't try that one. So granted, I don't know.
Oh guys, as everybody knows, like I'm a dessert fanatic, specifically
I had
frosting.
Two different kinds of cakes. I had like the red velvet and the cheesecake.
Oh my god, everything is so and then in the corner they were flambéing bananas to put over ice cream.
I didn't have that. Did you have that?
Of course. Katie, I had everything in the dessert room, I think.
Adam, one moment. I'm lactose intolerant.
No.
The next
moment.
That did
not stand.
Because whatever you just described sounds like there's a lot of lactose in that.
Oh, I was, yeah. Okay, so I will say, I don't say I'm lactose intolerant. I do say I'm sensitive to lactose, which is completely true.
True.
That being said, do I avoid it? No, I eat
I've
Greek
never
yogurt
known
like
you
water.
No, I did a really bold thing today.
What'd you do?
I got 2% milk in my coffee.
Don't you always? Oh, no, you get whole milk.
No.
Oh.
I don't. I usually do almond or oat.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? I don't know where we got that from.
Everyone. Where we got what?
Like, no one drinks, like, real milk anymore. Because, I mean, granted, people have actual legitimate issues
yeah.
with dairy. I don't.
Yeah.
Why did I think that, like, oat milk and almond milk is healthier for me for some reason?
Wait, but also, you know, like, dairy milks are coming back. I feel like they're having a comeback.
No, yeah. Well, I've been seeing more and more people posting about, mm-hmm. like, you know who I saw? Campbell Puckett, Pookie.
Mm-hmm.
Pookie posted the other day. She's like, she said something about how she just got, like, whole milk in her coffee. And she's like, I don't know why I haven't gotten whole milk for literally 5 years because everyone on the internet has been pushing oat milk and almond milk. Mm-hmm. I think it's the PR companies. Like, I think these PR girls that work for, like, Oatly and...
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses.
So a lot of us know that shopping for dad, shopping for boyfriend, shopping for men is very tough. Last Christmas, I was kind of freshly dating Jack and didn't really know what to get him. So I went to Uncommon Goods and I got him an Arsenal book that's his soccer team that he supports. And it's a collection of different news printings from the past 50 years of Arsenal's history. So it was really great gift. He loved it. I also got him a customized candle and I got my dad a whiskey creating kit. Like you can DIY your own whiskey. There's a ton of good stuff on there.
Uncommon Goods has the most meaningful out of the ordinary gifts on the market. And like Katie said, they even have gifts that you can personalize. Uncommon Goods will be at Grand Central Holiday Fair in Vanderbilt Hall and Grand Central Terminal in New York City, November 11th through December 24th. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/matchmade. That's uncommongoods.com/matchmade for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Happy holidays.
Okay, guys, so you know that we love a good skincare and makeup routine, but did you know how you apply these products to your face can make all the difference?
Anisa Beauty has been changing the game with their vegan and cruelty-free brushes since 2019. Their Pinnacle Foundation Brush is a fan favorite and has gone totally viral for a reason.
The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is seriously the key to flawless application. I could use the cheapest foundation, and this brush makes it look like I'm wearing a $200 formula. It's that good.
It's all in the design. The brush
luscious triangular shape fits every corner of your face, so you can use it for foundation, contour, highlight, basically all your liquid and cream products.
And don't forget about their skincare brushes. The Pinnacle Skin Brush has completely changed how I apply my serums and moisturizers. No more using my hands. This brush ensures everything goes on smooth and evenly.
So check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush and more at AnisaBeauty.com.
Use code MATCHMADE for 30% off site-wide. That's AnisaBeauty.com.
Check it out.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Khalifa Farms and whatever are just like working overtime pushing these milks. Like, I love dairy milk. You know, the cow's got to stay in business. I mean, and I got 2% and my stomach is totally fine.
Maybe I need to try drinking dairy milk in my coffee. Actually, like, I drink my coffee black normally, so that's not like...
Well, no, I just like put a... Like, I got a little splash in there just to make it. But I'm just like, I'm shook because I don't have like a sensitive stomach when it comes to dairy. Why have I been avoiding dairy?
You're also going to save so much money. Like, they charge like usually $1 extra for non-dairy milk. So
well,
it's insane.
I just was under the impression that it's healthier to not drink real milk.
No, and also like...
But there's no... That's like totally not right.
But also almond and oat milk goes through such a processing journey that like, is it really that healthy? Like, probably not.
True. I mean, there was that thing where there's a recall on a lot of oat milks, I remember.
From like microplastics
People
or something?
People were saying
or?
Don't drink oat milk. It was like on a recall list. Like the FDA put it out. I don't know when this was. This is might be like old news. But yeah, no, I'm just like, justice for dairy milk. Literally, justice for dairy milk.
I'm with you on the justice for dairy milk.
Anyway, I don't know how we got here with the cake, but...
Yeah, we somehow went from cake to dairy milk...
to cologne!
To justice for dairy milk. Like, we've been all over the board here.
Yeah, but no, the wedding was beautiful. The cake room was everything of the sort.
I took notes, for sure. I'm like, this cake room won't be in my wedding. Like, without a doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was our wedding. Did anything happen while we were at the wedding? Oh my god, my whole travel situation was just like a nightmare. We always have to have some kind of travel hiccup in a Match Made episode, I feel like.
Absolutely.
So let me just explain mine.
Traveling can never be easy for us. Like, it's just never cut and dry. And if it's easy for one of us, like, it was honestly pretty easy for me. It's not easy for someone else, but, you know, it's just a matter of time before I go through my journey again.
Right. This is also kind of funny. So last week on the episode, I think we talked about how I had the call from 9 to 10 a.m. And then our train was at 10:03 a.m. last Friday.
Yes. So our train to Rhode Island, Adam was really cutting it close with a phone call. Yeah.
And so some people like DM me and they were like, hope you made your train. Like, hope your call went well.
Honestly,
like,
so sweet.
Listeners. They're so sweet. But anyways, I did, in fact, make the train. It was so funny because I was on the call and my friend who was on the call with me, he was texting me under the table and he was like, yo, like, if you need to leave, like, you can get off. But it was at that point, it made no sense for me to just be like, oh, hey guys, I gotta jump early, like, sorry, because we were wrapping the call. But it took an extra couple of minutes, so we literally ended the call at 10:01 a.m. and I ran to the train. I literally got on the train and the doors closed behind me to leave at 10:03.
I was honestly really stressed. I was tracking you.
Yeah,
I was like, because it was you, Mia, me, and Jack on the same train. And I saw Mia. I'm like, okay, check. Accounted for. We got one. Like, because obviously I forced Jack and I. Like, we had to be there 40 minutes early.
Of course.
Because I'm crazy. I needed that. Because I needed to get my coffee. I wanted to get a new book. I had to get a card and cash. I had a lot of things to do. So I needed a solid 40.
Right.
And I noticed when I got there, you were also there.
I had already. I got there at like 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, so I was like, perfect. Okay, Adam, he's here at least. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he is physically, but he's here, so he's going to make the train. But then as the minutes were ticking, I'm like, he's not on the train.
No.
Oh my God.
You should have seen me. I literally had my laptop in hand, camera off, finishing this call. I'm actively talking. I'm like, yeah, so it's been great speaking with you guys. Like, blah, 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 these are the next steps, XYZ. Like, as I'm sprinting the train. It was iconic, honestly. I'm not going to lie.
I'm really proud of you. Really, like, in the nick of time.
But we did make it. But then, so anyways, Sunday, you and I were supposed to take the same train.
Yeah, what happened with that?
So basically,
my train was 11:40.
Yes, and that was also the train that I was supposed to be on as well. And so to give the people some context, so I had a bit of a last minute trip to San Francisco that I needed to make for work. And so I had an important meeting on Tuesday morning in San Francisco that I needed to be in person for. And so I was originally planning on going to San Francisco that Sunday. So like I was debating internally, like, okay, should I just fly directly from Providence or from Boston or something like that? Like maybe I'll go like hang out with some of our friends in Boston for the day and just fly directly out from there.
He didn't want to like go back and forth, like come back to New York only just to leave again.
Exactly.
So and I was also, like, oh, what? New York travel is like a nightmare, having to go to JFK. It's like an hour drive. It's like sometimes it just makes more sense to just go straight to your destination.
Quick. Exactly. So I was like, does it make sense for me to take a 3.5 hour train back to New York only to that night have to fly back out to San Francisco?
Right.
And so the night before I was like, okay, I actually am like really thinking that I just want to go back home and just like have a day in the city, like get my life together. Cause I'd also been in Nashville the entire week before. Like I was kind of stressed out about all the travel.
Right.
And so I decided I want to go back to the city first. And so I changed, I canceled my train at 11:40 and I was like, I'll take the 7 a.m. train cause I'm a psycho on Sunday morning.
Which is crazy of you.
We were out. We had a little too much fun at the wedding on Saturday night. And so I was like,
or just enough fun.
Or just enough fun.
Weddings are always lit.
Exactly.
You know, in terms of the free open bar. Come on.
Exactly.
You're gonna take advantage of that. And her signature cocktail was a dirty martini.
Exactly.
So and you know,
we got lit.
What were you drinking at the wedding?
I was drinking Casamigos sodas.
Classic.
The entire wedding, as Adam does.
Yeah. Well, that's good tequila. Honestly, you won't get as hungover with that.
So I enjoyed that. But anyway, so I was like, do I really want to leave at 7 a.m.? Like, I don't know. At that rate.
Wait, I'm still confused why you changed it to 7.
Because if I was going to fly out Sunday night.
I see.
I was like, I'd rather get back to the city by like 10:30 and then have the
entire
day. Because
it's like a 3 hour train from Providence to New York. I see.
So okay. 11:40, like you guys probably get back at like 3:30, right?
2:50.
Okay, yeah, 2:50.
Yeah, because we were on the express.
Yeah. But so if I took the 7, I would have gotten home at like 10:30, 11.
Right, which would have been ideal for... I see, I'm following now.
So that's the reason that I canceled that. But then anyways, we come to the wedding and I'm like, oh, our two friends, Allie and Lee, were driving back to the city on Sunday. And they were planning on leaving at like 9 or 10. So I was like, okay, so I can still like beat 2 hours. The drive is like 3.5 hours. Like I'll still be back by like 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So like, you know, an hour and a half earlier than when I got back, which isn't really that much.
But I had already canceled the train at that point. And if I tried to rebook it, it would have been like quadruple the price.
True.
So that was also just my fault for being a poor planner.
It's okay. You live and you learn.
You do live and you learn because guess what ended up happening? We leave to drive home. And then, of course, all of Connecticut is flooding. We are on the highway and we can't even see an inch in front of us. Also, there is water up to the tires. There are people's houses floating away in Connecticut. This is an act of God. Like we were Noah's Ark'd, okay? Like there was a lot happening.
My God.
And so it took, drum roll please.
Drum roll.
Six please. And a half hours for us to get home. I didn't get home until 4:30 p.m.
Yeah, I beat you.
Yeah, you did. You did. So,
but that's such, oh my God. And you really thought you were like doing something there. You're like, perfect. I'll like catch a ride. I'll save some money.
Yes. No. We were in the car for 6.5 hours.
Oh my God. That's like a solid road trip. What did you guys do? What did you talk about for 6.5 hours?
We chatted. We listened to music. It was actually like quite enjoyable. And then no shade to our driver, but he did make quite a substantial amount of wrong turns.
How'd that happen? Did you have GPS?
We did. He said that he would be able to beat the GPS. He was being a man. And so...
I mean, I'm not a great driver either, so I honestly can't speak to that. And to be honest, I will miss a turn and I'll say, no, I meant to do that. I didn't actually mean to do that.
Honestly, for all I know, we could have been going the right way the entire time. But our friend was like, oh no, he made a bunch of wrong turns. Like his
six and a half hours. That is absolutely crazy because... From Maryland to North Carolina, where I went to college, was 6.5 hours.
Yes.
Like, that was, like, my drive to school. And I would make, like, multiple stops to get Diet Coke. Like, that was, like, a day for me. Like, my only activity. And you were planning on flying out then that night after all that?
So, anyways, we're in the car. We realize it's going to take us, like, 6 hours to get home. And so, I changed my flight to Monday night. So, that's a long story. I was like, at this rate, I'm not getting home at 4 or 5 p.m. and then turning around and going to JFK at 7 p.m. The other addition to that is that I saw in the forecast there were severe thunderstorms at night. And I was like, if I get all the way to JFK, which is Satan's playground and the like farthest freaking place to get to from the city, and they cancel my flight, it would have ruined my entire life. Like, I would have been done forever.
Yeah, you probably would have curled up in a ball in the Delta Sky Lounge. Yeah. Like,
I would have slept there. I would have been like, this is actually my home now. I'm never going back.
Wait, I have a question. Does the Delta Sky Lounge close?
I think so. I think they're open until like 2 a.m. and then reopen at 5 or something.
So they make you leave.
I guess, but I've never had an experience where that's happened to me, so I'm not really.
Because honestly, the Delta Sky Lounge, like, I could stay there for, I think it's the Sky Club technically.
I could stay there forever.
Yeah, because they, every like few hours, they bring out a new cuisine, fresh food.
Yeah.
They have all the drinks you could possibly want for free.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah. No, honestly, the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah. So long story short, I changed my flight to Monday night. I literally, and then to cap it all off, because, you know, Adam can't win with travel experiences. We board my plane to fly to San Francisco on Monday night. So at that rate, I was fully committed to being in San Francisco for 6 hours of awake time, right? I was planning on landing in San Francisco at like 11 p.m., getting to my hotel, waking up for my meeting at 9, and then turn around, come back to the city at 1 p.m. was my flight out of San Francisco.
Literally just going for the meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so we get on my flight to go to San Francisco, and we're sitting there. We're not moving. All of a sudden, the pilot comes on, and he's like, hey, guys, so due to the weather earlier, we're about 30 planes behind on the tarmac for takeoff. I was like, 30? 30 is the most unreasonable number for you to tell us on this flight right now. Like, how could we be 30 planes behind? And also, why would you board us?
Yeah, I think that's illegal. I think if, well, depending on how long you're sitting on the runway, I think if you're on the runway for over 2 hours, which is a long amount of time, you could, like, that's illegal.
We were on the runway for over 2 hours.
You can't have, I think maybe three, maybe it's 3 hours. There's a certain hour number that, like, because I was on a flight very similar where we had like a really insane delay of just planes taking off, and they had to unboard us because they're like, it's illegal to keep you guys on any longer.
That's insane.
We had to.
I mean, I felt like I was a prisoner. And also, like,
because then you can't like freely just like, I mean, granted, hate a delay no matter what, but I would rather be delayed in the airport so I can go to the bathroom and, you know, do things.
For sure. Like, I'd rather just go back to the Sky Lounge and, like, work and just, like, come back and get on the plane.
Yeah, because, like, the Wi-Fi is really terrible on the runway. Uh-huh. My God.
So it took me, like, 8 hours to get to San Francisco.
Oof.
I don't rest my little head at the hotel until, like, 1:30 a.m. I woke up at 5 a.m., did my workout, did my meetings that started at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we survived. That was my like quick 20, like 12 hours in San Francisco.
Hmm.
I don't even know how we got on that subject, but like that was my my whole travel journey.
Well, the wedding. We were talking about the wedding and then you leaving. So, but hey, look what you did. You went to the wedding, celebrated your friends, went to your meeting, crushed it. Although I feel like that could have just been an email. Come on.
See, but like
all the way to San Francisco for a meeting, that sounds like
what
crazy.
It kind of made me realize, though, is like I really am in kind of like a job that I've always wanted. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
But right. Like, I mean, that's such a crazy concept that like it was worth it to the company to send me to San Francisco for quite literally 6 hours because I was that crucial to being in person for something. You know?
No, that's like that's a real pat on the back. Like
it was kind of like, wow, like this is cool.
An essential member of this team. Like we are going to pay to get you on a plane, put you up in a hotel to do one meeting.
I mean, it was like a client meeting, so it was with like all the like executives of this firm that I'm trying to sell to. And like, allegedly, it's just such an important thing that they were like, Adam's going in person.
Well,
so I don't know.
Snaps.
It's kind of cool.
Snaps for you.
I'm into it.
Getting the work done.
I'm happy.
Just a couple more days and then it'll be the weekend and you can take a nice long nap.
No, literally, I need to like sit and do nothing and stare at a wall for a long time.
You know what I'm doing on Saturday?
What?
I'm going to the Central Park boathouse.
Wait, so fun.
I don't know how to say it. How do you say it? L-O-E-B.
I think it's the Loeb Boathouse.
Loeb Boathouse, where they shot that iconic scene. There's a bunch of iconic scenes from movies shot there, but the one on Sex and the City where Mr. Big and Carrie like go overboard into the water because he tries to kiss her on the cheek and she's freaks out and then drags him down into the water with her. But it's like a magical place and I've wanted to go. So I got a reservation there at 3 o'clock. I'm going to go.
So fun.
Yeah.
Who are you bringing?
Jack, but mainly
I'll triple date.
Yeah. We can do a reenactment. I wonder if anyone else has ever fallen in the water there. Like just to recreate that iconic photo of
them. I believe it.
Mr. Big and Carrie. But well, I actually read that after that she got an infection.
No way.
Like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ew.
Got like an infection from the water. Like I think it was radioactive in that pond.
I think I'm going to avoid that.
Also Sarah Jessica Parker news. Her shoe store is closing.
Permanently?
Yeah. It's done. It's going under.
But I will say like brands like that, like have you ever bought a pair of SJP, can I speak?
Yeah, you're
shoes?
Right.
Like, have you ever?
They sent me a pair. I will say the shoes, and I actually read, so I saw this post about it, and I was reading the comments. Someone said, they're like, well, here's the thing. Like, people don't wear high heels like that anymore mm-hmm. on a daily basis, especially in New York City. Like, in Sex and the City, those girls are wearing 6-inch heels on a daily basis, like walking to the coffee shop. When do you see ladies in 6-inch heels today?
Like,
you know what I mean?
Midtown.
Like, going, maybe. Yeah, but not like, you know, most people could be wearing heels, sure, but they're like 3 inches max. Mm-hmm. Like, 6-inch heels, it's just with all the crazy sidewalks we have around these places, like, I don't know how they do it.
No.
And also, the heels that she sells are very sophisticated. Like, you know, they're very, like,
they're fancy.
Closed-toed pumps and, like, she's a variety of different styles, but the pair that she sent me are like hot pink satin pumps.
I see.
And not to say that those aren't like fantastic, but just, you know, limited outfits I can wear that with.
Right.
And they're not like an everyday. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. I feel like the era of the shoe store, it's just difficult these days for these shoe stores to stay open.
I also think celebrity brands in general normally have a hard time staying afloat, right? Isn't that like a thing?
Well, she did so, like, honestly, it should have succeeded because, well, I don't know how long they've been around. Maybe they have succeeded in her eyes, but they opened the store in the West Village right on the same street as where the facade of her apartment is in the show on Perry Street. So it couldn't be more perfect. Like, if you're coming to the city, if you're a tourist, you're coming here to see Carrie Bradshaw's apartment, walk down a little further, you see Sarah Jessica Parker's shoe store, which Carrie was known for her shoes. It's a no-brainer. You're going to walk in, you're going to buy a pair of shoes and say, oh, when I visited New York City, I got these shoes. But I guess not good enough.
Not good enough. That's so interesting.
Anyway. So yeah, that's my Saturday plan. But other than that, I'm doing absolutely nothing.
That'll be me too, I think. Just like staring at the wall, thinking about life.
Well, we can hang out if you want.
We should hang out.
So you don't have to stare at the wall.
I think we should. Maybe I'll have a date. I need like...
Yeah, wait. So I think you touched on this briefly earlier. But you have a pen pal. Are these new pen pals or pre-existing?
A mix.
Okay.
So I have Dubai, of course.
Right.
So my favorite pen pal, the news reporter who lives in Dubai. And then I have this other Raya guy who I met who lives in San Diego. And so him and I are also pen paling. He had a bachelor party in Denver over the weekend.
Ooh.
We are quite literally pen pals because there has not been one single ounce of conversation of like, so when are we going to see each other, try to see each other? Because it's just like not realistic. Like, this man lives in San Diego.
Did you ever have a real pen pal growing up? Like,
I'm trying to think.
Truly just another like kid somewhere else that you were writing to?
I don't think so. Did you?
I did.
Ew.
My mom signed me up for a pen pal program and I was writing this girl named Alexia. That was her name.
Okay.
She lived in like Minnesota. Oh. And we would write actual letters like on lined paper back and forth to each other. I wonder how she's doing.
What if Alexia listens to the podcast?
She could. We had a meet and greet, like meet up.
Oh, so you met her?
We met once and it was so awkward and weird because we were used to being like pen pals. Like, it was weird to like see her in real life. We would send like photos of each other back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, back to these pen pals, the more exciting pen pals, the men.
I don't know. Your Alexia pen pal sounds kind of intriguing.
Yeah, I wonder what she's up to. Maybe I should reach out to her.
Alexia, if you listen to this, speak up, girl.
I think her name is Alexia. Yeah, that like stuck in my brain. Why would it not be? My mom's definitely going to text me and be like, actually, sweetie, your pen pal's name was blah, blah, blah. So do you have any pen pals that are in New York City?
Okay, so I will say, do you remember the guy who, I forget what I called him.
Who I blacked out on 6 martinis with?
That's rude. Anyways.
No, I mean, the number of times you said that.
I didn't black out on 6 martinis with this one. Thank you.
But were you about to say it and now you're just going to pivot?
No, it's not one of those. Okay. Yes, there are multiple. No, that's not the one. I'm talking about the one that was, what did I call him? He was so indecisive, or not indecisive, but I like couldn't get a read on him. Remember we went on 3 dates, he like didn't kiss me, didn't do anything, and like was weird.
And then would text you afterwards and be like, you had a great time.
Yeah,
he had a great time and he wanted to see you again. You're like, wait, what the fuck? What? This wasn't the guy that never asked you about yourself, was it?
No.
Different guy.
That was more recent.
Was this also the guy that was reading the book
on
your date?
No.
Different. No,
that one lasted one day. Remember, like, the guy that was reading the book? He was reading the book when I arrived at the date. We had I would consider it a bad date. And then we walked out and he kissed me in the street and grabbed my butt. And I was like, this is not what I was expecting from you.
Yeah, no, I remember that now. Okay. So this is the guy that was just indecisive.
He just, like, never gave me any read. Like,
on, like, a memorable date? Because maybe that's what we called
them. I wouldn't say any of them were memorable. We went to Oceans, and then after Oceans, this might spark it. We went to Oceans, we're leaving. I'm, like, waiting for him to tell me, like, where we're going. Like, if we should go, like, get another drink, or if we should go to his apartment. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And he was like, oh, like, whatever you want to do.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And I was like... You were like, no, I want you to tell me what we're doing.
Yeah.
/ I don't even know if you want to do something.
Exactly. In my mind, the way that he was delivering this information, it felt like he didn't really want to continue the date. So right. I was like, it's all good. Like, I'm
and
going
home. And then he texted you after and, like, kind of was like gaslighty. Like, yeah. I didn't think you wanted to do anything.
Yeah. He was like, I was going to invite you to the apartment, like my apartment, but I didn't get the chance.
And I was like, we were like, ick, because it's like, no, don't make me feel like it's my fault.
Yeah.
When you were being weird. Like, exactly. You were being weird. You weren't saying what you wanted to do. Don't make it seem like I did anything wrong.
Right. And you know, so the way that I left it off with that guy is I did give him one more chance. And so we went on one more date to the Waverly Inn in the West Village. And he ended up, like, taking a lot of initiative. Because after that, I texted him and I was like, look, like, I don't feel like you're interested in me. Like, this is, like, the way that I interpreted this whole situation.
Right. I remember you sent that text, yes.
And he was like, no, this is not how I feel at all. Like, let's go on another date. Like, I promise, like, I'll kind of, like, bring it around. So we go to dinner at the Waverly Inn. And then he ends up paying. Like, we go back to his apartment. We hook up. Nothing too crazy, but... Some things happened.
Something happened.
I wasn't a whore, but I was, like, you know.
Tasteful.
I was a tasteful whore. And so we, after that, though, like, I didn't really hear from him. Like, I was like, oh, okay, like, I guess I'm bad at hooking up. I don't know.
No, that's a him problem.
Just kidding. But after that, like, there was kind of no progression from that, basically. And then so while we're at the wedding this weekend.
When was that?
This was in May, I think.
Okay, so spring.
Oh, wait, was this over a year ago? Wait, I may have been seeing him, like, over a year ago.
You may have been seeing him not in May, but last year.
Was it in
May? I don't remember. You'd be the one to know that.
I don't know. Because, like, I dated Hillstone up until, like, March, April.
Yeah, that was a spring fling. Yeah. That was a spring fling.
So maybe I did date this guy this May. I can't remember exactly, but, like, I think, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, we're at the wedding over the weekend.
It's been significant time.
Yes, exactly. Significant enough. I look down at my phone over the wedding at a Hinge notification, and who sends me a rose is this dude.
How did you met before?
We met on Raya? Hinge or Raya, one of them.
Okay, so, but how, if you met on Hinge, how is he sending you a rose, like, after?
He must have, like, reset his Hinge or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Or maybe, like, that's why I'm thinking I must have dated him over a year ago. I don't know. Somebody on the podcast will remember and, like, jog my memory.
It, but like, unmatched. Wait, should I bring up the, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, our Excel sheet that the girl
Excel,
made?
Yeah, Excel, wait.
Like, would it even be in there? I don't know. Like, I could not even tell you when I dated this guy.
Wait, I need to know. I made a list of all the match made boys. Wait, I found it. Yep.
When was it? That was like 2022. Right?
Adam. Okay, which one does it sound like? Montauk Coffee Guy. No. Married Guy.
No.
Switzerland. Apple Store Guy. Mutual Friend.
No.
Home Depot.
No.
Laundry Room Guy.
No.
Damn. Well, that was up until July 23.
Okay, so it must have been after.
So
that.
It was probably.
So it had been this year.
So it was this year. It was, like, probably this spring. Okay, we need an update.
Okay, well, maybe I just reset my Hinge or something like that. But
okay,
anyways,
so he sent you a rose.
Sent me a rose. I go, there he is. He goes, here I am. LOL. How's the weekend starting out? And just, like, basic conversation. And then he was like, so want to meet up again sometime. And I was like, sure, I'll meet up again with you sometime. So I agreed to it, but we'll see what he says. This other guy I've been trying to schedule a date with, but he asked me on a date last Friday, but obviously we were in Providence, so I didn't get to meet up with him.
What's his deal?
His simple pleasures are a crisp Diet Coke. Mine too, dude.
Can I see a picture?
Yeah.
I love a crisp Diet Coke.
He works in private equity, went to Penn.
Ooh.
He looks like a little meatball, like a little Guido.
He's looking for a long-term relationship. I like him already.
Sam. Date me, sir.
Oh, He's ripped.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Good hairline.
He's a short king, but like Adam Harrison loves a short king.
He looks like Italian. He looks like he would know my dad.
I think so.
like he looks like he's a Blottie.
Yeah.
No, he honestly looks like we're related.
Okay, perfect. So our kids will look exactly
no,
like
I love it.
The Blotties.
No, he in this photo, does he not look like he could be a Blottie?
He does, for sure.
Anyway, I love him already.
Yeah, he's cute.
Okay, so you're trying to find a day to meet up with him.
Well, he asked me on a date last Friday, and I was like, this is actually kind of like a big deal. But anyways, we were kind of like flirting back and forth or whatever on last Thursday. And then he double messaged me like the next Friday, like 12 hours later, and said, are you free this evening? And then I was like, no, sorry.
That's such a power move. I love a double message.
A double message. He did ask for a same day date, which we always say not to take, but it was like on a Friday. Like this guy's like willing to ask me on a same day date and double message me on a Friday. I feel like that's kind of a big deal.
He's willing.
But then I was like, I tried to pitch this week and then said, let me know what works best for you. And I haven't heard from him. So, yikes.
Well, when did you send that? It's only Tuesday. Oh my God, it's Wednesday.
Oh, it is?
Whoa.
Shoot.
What day is it? Yeah, it's Wednesday.
I sent that on Friday, that same day. And I haven't heard from him.
You should double message him. That's his. He clearly doesn't take offense to that.
Should I just be like, so, what's up?
You should be like, well, what did you say in your message? Exactly. Verbatim.
I said, sounds good. Can't wait. Let me know when works best. And I got nothing.
Let me know when works best. I would then be like, how about X day? How about Thursday night?
Should I just copy him and say, are you free this evening?
I mean, honestly, for the plot, do it.
I should. Not today, though. I can't do that today. I'll
do it tomorrow.
I'll do this tomorrow. I actually have a gay dinner with work tomorrow.
Perfect.
So that'll be perfect timing. Continue the gay.
What time is continue the day? Continue the gay. Wait, when is the dinner? What time?
It's like 5:30 to 7:30. Wait,
that's
I think.
Actually so ideal. You yeah. can meet up with him afterwards.
That's what I'm saying.
Or we can go out. You know what I'm doing on Thursday night?
What?
So Jack's friend Guy.
Yeah.
He's an old soul.
Right.
Well, he also is like in his 50s, so he's on the older side. But he loves Prince.
Okay.
And there's this event. It's a Prince, like, impersonator
mm-hmm.
that's singing at City Winery. And it's, like, I don't know. It's, like, trivia. It's some, like, game interactive experience involving Prince and okay. wine. It's, like, a wine tasting. I can't even describe. It's just
that sounds kind of fun.
It's a very interesting concept. But, yeah, I'll be drinking with Prince.
Love.
A Prince
impersonator. Was it a ticketed event or what's the...
It's a ticketed event, of okay. course. Yeah. Slide. Jack went to... there was another one. I forget who the singer... It's all these like old school like artists.
Yeah.
Well, impersonators, obviously. But he went to one and he was like... It was quite the crowd. Like, it's an eclectic bunch. But I'm so excited.
I love it. You should be. That's so oh. fun. All right. Well, keep me posted how that goes.
So we can like... I don't know, cross paths.
Meet up. Should I pitch that? Should I be like, hey, so I have this extra ticket.
There's this Prince impersonator.
Prince impersonation event.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of first dates there. Like, it's quite the conversation starter.
At a Prince impersonation event?
Maybe, you never
Katie,
know.
If a guy took you to a Prince impersonation event on a first date, what information would you be delivering to this podcast?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be a good date for me. But hey, for someone else, big it's Prince true. Fan.
Don't yuck somebody's yum.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I feel like a comedy show, like, there's a lot of things that you just like, it's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I don't feel like you can really get a lot of chatting in, like correct. The necessary information gleaned
yes.
from events like that. Or like similar, I feel like a lot of people do like, I mean, maybe more so like in high school, but like movie dates, like first dates, like at a movie theater. How much talking are you really doing at a movie theater?
None. It's like kind of ideal.
Ideal? But then you can walk out of it and not even know who the person is.
That's true. You're like, had a great time. Hope no,
like,
to see you
I
again.
Need like an ideal setting. The ideal setting is a place where you can properly just like analyze this person.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
You just need like a solid hour to hour and a half to like have a drink or like have some conversation. Like if it's like walk on the West Side Highway. Like when I've been pitching people like ideas, like this guy specifically, like the one that looks like a Blottie.
Yeah.
We were kind of joking about what we should do. Cause I think like my message to him was, oh, I said, should our first date be a Diet Coke tasting? I messaged him first. And then
God, this is like a new you.
I know.
This is crazy.
And then we kind of had some banter about that. And then he was like, "Ha, fair enough. What do you have in mind?" And I said, "Given we live in the city, I think your options are probably drink, food, walk, workout, or Diet Coke."
Well, Diet Coke includes drink. Drink true. And Diet Coke. But I admired the lineup.
I couldn't put the second part of that. It actually was like way more funny than that in terms of the liner that I used, but it's offensive.
Oh.
So we can't include it.
Okay.
So we'll keep it a little secret from the pod listeners. But anyways, yes. We'll see what ends up happening. Okay. I'll keep the people posted.
I'm intrigued.
Shall we read our update and then wrap?
Oh, yes, guys. We got an update in the email.
We are kind of at time, but we can read the update and then.
Yeah, no, this is an important update. Okay. So if we remember, this was the girl that wrote in about her boyfriend, quote, lying about moving in with her. He was like, do you remember? It was like,
yes.
They had talked about moving in together, and then all of a sudden he was like, psych, I'm going to live with my brother because my parents say it's better and blah, blah, blah. But we were like, girly, it's definitely like you should express that you're upset about that because that's like kind of messed up that he like lied to you or led you on. But you guys are both so young. I wouldn't take it as like an end of relationship. Mm. So she wrote in with an update as to what happened.
Oh
so
God, I can't wait to hear.
She said, hi guys, it's me again. I was not expecting you to actually give me advice. So thank you. Thank you. I don't have siblings. So it really felt like you were my older siblings telling me to chill the fuck out.
Aww.
In parentheses. The episode was also released on my birthday. So it felt especially fitting.
Wait, that's so cute.
We were like, girly, like you are so young on her birthday. Luckily, we were nice. Now for the update. We are not living together. After a lot of conversations about hurt, disappointment, and confusion, we realized that this year, neither of us are fully ready. And as you guys mentioned, we're so young and have so much time. I definitely think I was so upset because I'm such a planner. So my plan changing was hard, and I have a lot of fear about living alone. So I thought living with the boyfriend would minimize the fear. Still nervous about living alone, but the excitement about being able to decorate however I want and have my own place is growing. Thanks so much for bringing me back down to earth a bit.
Aww.
That's it. Girlie, I've lived alone for like 5 years. You can do it, I promise.
I haven't done it yet. I wonder what I'm going to be like when I live alone.
It's so fun to be able to decorate your space. Like, look around. This place is all me.
Like, this is like, yeah, this is Katie's lair for sure.
All me. Like, everything. You don't have to think about asking someone what they think about. Like, that is the beauty, and that's what I really leaned on, I feel like, in every single apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you know, the apartment you choose feels safe to you. You know, you have the proper, you got some good locks, mm-hmm. you got, you know, and just, I don't know. I've never really felt lonely here for some reason.
Well, it's like a home. It's yeah. like, this is kind of your like retreat. And like, you do a lot of things. Like, you're in the center of the city, basically.
Yeah. Also, just make sure that you have plans mm-hmm. throughout your week. You're not literally alone every day. Like, you have people you can see.
Yeah. Keep yourself busy.
Maybe choose somewhere that you live like decently close to people that you know. Like, I'm probably max, I don't know, 10 minutes away from each of my friends, like everybody and Jack. So, yeah. But you've got this.
I love it.
And I'm glad you liked our advice and it was on your birthday and we didn't upset you. Anyway.
I think that might be all we have time for.
I think
today.
It is. I'll save. Yeah, we have some good questions in here. We'll save for when Colby's back.
Yeah, save for when Colby's
back.
No,
when Colby's back, and we can also hear about her sister's wedding and the full recap and everything.
You've been chatty.
And Adam's dates that he's going to go on.
We'll see.
With Mr. Diet Coke.
Fingers crossed. With that, it's been fun. Love
you. See ya. Bye.
Katie, I did it. Copy me. What the heck?
I just did it with you. I wanted to be your shadow.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Diet Coke.
Bye.